Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Ewan Spence here, and it's a welcome return to the All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. A busy time has been had by all in the last 2 weeks, skipped a week, for a bundle of reasons, mostly because I was sunning myself off in Austin, and Austin decided to rain on me, and everybody else had far more important things to do in the world of smartphones. So let's catch up with the rest of the team now. Well, you all remember, you can find us at allaboutwindowsphone.com. First up, the person who decided that would be a good choice for a domain name, Rafe Blanford.
Thank you so much, Ewan. Yes, I did try and do a podcast last week, but it fell through, so it's all my fault that you've had to miss a week out.
Okay, and also the person who decided that the best thing in the world that you can have is another smartphone, Steve Litchfield.
What do you mean, another 30 smartphones in my case? So the reason we didn't do a podcast last week is no one could do a valid impersonation of Mr. Ewan Spence. We just couldn't do it without you, sorry.
I'm sure you could find a small, excited puppy who's just discovered bubble wrap.
Oh, yes. Okay, done.
Yeah, that will work. Next time I'm away, small, excited puppy. And the man who will find us that small, excited puppy, David Gilson.
Hello. I didn't know my new job was dog catcher, but hello.
Puppy catcher, not dog catcher. Puppy catcher, that's harder.
It probably is.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk about what's been happening in the world of Windows Phone, the ecosystem that is constantly growing, more applications, more handsets announced, more developers coming on board, more news, more fun and games and practical stuff as well. We'll touch on all of that and maybe a little bit more in the next 25 minutes or so here on the podcast. First up, let's talk about new territories, I think. Rafe, Windows Phone has decided to go into China. And now it's official. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, and Microsoft have been talking about it at MWC and even before then. And obviously, it's a very important market for Windows Phone. It's actually the biggest mobile phone market in the world, at least by volume. And that's because China's population is, of course, so big. But it's also a big potential growth market. I mean, that means that a lot of people are still to trade up to smartphones or indeed, in some cases, buy their first phone. So last week, or actually this week as we're recording this podcast, Microsoft held an event in Beijing to kind of formally mark the arrival of Windows Phone in China. And what they did, you know, they went through the usual demos, People Hub, Office Hub. But what they were showing off that's new is actually Windows Phone running with an interface that used the Chinese language and actually support both simplified and traditional Chinese. And so they showed that off. And actually, I think the Metro UI looks rather good using these Chinese characters. And, you know, Microsoft talk about enhancing the beauty and the elegance and all of that. But obviously, it's important to support the local language. It's something that hasn't been available before. And obviously, it's completely necessary when you're going into a market like this. I mean, there are a couple of other interesting announcements around this. They said that there's now more than 2,000 Chinese language apps in the Windows Phone marketplace. And there's actually 70,000 apps in the app store. That's now an official number. We talked about that a little bit before on the site with our app tracking. And actually, our app tracking shows that the number of apps that have been published to Windows Phone Marketplace is now around the 77,000 mark. Of course, that does include apps that have since been unpublished. At this China event, there were actually executives from China Telecom, China Ucom, and China Mobile. That's significant because they're the three big operators in China. And to really crack that market, you need support from those operators, partly about device subsidies. That does apply in China. And actually, there's also a big unlocked market as well. So it's a dual thing. China's rather unique in that respect. But to see that level of operator support, I think, is quite telling. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that. There's actually a story on this on the site, and you can go and read that. But would also recommend you go and have a look at the Chinese language sites. You might need to use Google Translate, or you can just look at the pictures. And that's at wpdang.com and winp.cn. In terms of the changes to Windows, and we talked a bit about this in the past, how there were probably going to be Chinese social networks like RenRen and Tencent and Weibo. They actually aren't in there at the moment. I suspect they'll be added in the future. The same applies to Xbox Live. That's being removed for the Chinese market, although WP Dang noted that if you log on with an international Live ID, Xbox Live and all those features will be restored. Just briefly talking about devices. HTC have actually got a device on sale now. It's the HTC Eternity. It's basically a Chinese variant of the HTC Titan. That's in the OpenEye, the unlocked market, pretty much standard compared to the Titan, the same 4.7-inch screen, 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, 512 megabytes RAM, 16 gigabytes internal memory, and that 8-megapixel camera. ZTE were also showing off a device that was the Mimosa. It's a variant, as far as we know, of the ZTE Orbit, so it's running the lower specifications of Windows Phone 7.5 with the 800 megahertz process and the 256 megabytes of RAM. So they'll be going up against the Nokia 610 in due course. Samsung were also at the event, so it looks like they're planning to do some Chinese variants as well, as were Nokia, and they actually have their own event in a week's time where they'll be formally unveiling their Chinese handsets. There isn't anything official on that yet, but we're expecting Chinese market variants of the Lumia 800, 710 and 610, and that's going to be in both the WCDMA form that we've got already on the market, but also CDMA 2000. And that's interesting because it's going to be Nokia's very first CDMA smartphone devices. So there we go. That's a quick summary of Windows Phone going to China. We'll have a bit more on that in the weeks to come as more news and information comes out and all the devices go on sale in April.
And of course, you can follow all of that news and leave your comments back on our website. We've had some toys here to play with as well, mostly on the software side of things. Steve, I know that you're our sort of navigation and map head on the team. And while I was away, I actually found myself using the built-in maps, but the Microsoft one. But Nokia have done a substantial upgrade over most of their sort of mapping and geolocation suite, haven't they?
Yes, this basically brings Nokia Drive, which, if you remember, is a kind of a Nokia's real-time voice-guided sat-nav, which was kind of an embryonic form, really, in the Lumia 800 at first. Nokia Drive is now up to version 2 and brings it basically up to the same standard as Nokia Maps and Nokia Drive on the Symbian smartphone world, which is, of course, where Nokia Maps started. You basically get to version 2, full offline functionality at last. So you can preload the whole of the United States for your next trip, and you can drive around it without paying a penny in data charges, which is pretty swish. Various countries are several hundred megabytes, depending on the size of the country, of course. You can also now plan a route without a data connection, because obviously it's got all the roads on board and it can do the various calculations. You also now get speed alerts, which is very, very handy. Rafe, you did the news story on this. What do you actually get when you're approaching a safety carrier? Is there a voice or a beep or what happens?
Actually, it's not about safety cameras as such. That, I believe, is coming in a future version. But this uses the underlying metadata on the map, so it knows what the speed limit on that road is, and it will warn you if you're going over the speed limit. Some people will say, well, I only want warnings when there's a camera. But, I mean, I think we should all encourage people to stick to the law all the time. All right, okay. And the nice thing is on this, and actually I think this is an improvement over some of the earlier Symbian versions, it actually has a configurable level for over 50 miles an hour and under 50 miles an hour, what you want the threshold to be. So you can set it to be north and it will warn you when you're on the speed limit, or you can set it at 5 miles an hour, so it'll set you at 5 miles over. And while, of course, being responsible would encourage you to set it at north, I think I'm not the only one who's been annoyed by speed alerts bugging me just as I'm on the speed limit. And certainly, yeah, sort of a threshold at level of 10% is probably quite realistic and will keep you safe from the jam sandwiches, or the cops, as we call them in the UK. But I you said earlier that it's up to the level of the Symbian version. I still think it's got a while to go. For example, there's no real-time traffic support and rerouting as a consequence of that. And there's a few other bits and pieces in there which makes me feel it needs another version. That said, you know, talking to the Nokia Maps and the executives at MWC, they're already working on version 3, and we can expect traffic and sort of more intelligent routing and choice of which routes to take to come in the sort of next version. And generally, Nokia have had a kind of a 6-month timeline on the kind of updates for this. So I'd imagine we'll see something in the late summer. And that's certainly the pattern they've had on the Symbian side of things. And I'm impressed they've got it this far this quickly, given that it's only just over a year ago that they've started working on it.
Yeah, mind you, the real-time traffic rerouting only really works in major cities where they've got the necessary infrastructure to report that. That's certainly my findings. And you may well find you're in the centre of London in the UK or the centre of Reading even. You can actually say, OK, well, this road's blocked with traffic. I'll go a different way. But if you're just in your local a regional town, then you've got a traffic jam because of roadworks. And there's no sign of that whatsoever in any of the databases. So it's a tiny bit unreliable in the real world. Also worth noting that there's no real support for favorites. You'd have thought they'd have had a favorite system synced by the cloud, as on Symbian, whereby everything was held online and it basically went online, which meant you could interact between Nokia Drive and Nokia Maps, and the two could share a system of favorites. But that's, again, something that Microsoft and Nokia need to work on, I think.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think there's some platform limitations there. We'll talk about the Nokia Maps update in a minute, which does have favorite support. And it's a shame they're not sharing data. But again, that's kind of a limitation of the platform. And that actually applies to map data as well, which I find particularly irritating. If I've downloaded the map data for the UK, for example, for Drive, I'd expect it to use it in Nokia Maps, and it doesn't do it at the moment. I am told that they're quite aware of that and it's being looked at, but I suspect we might have to wait for a major software platform update before that particular irritation gets fixed.
We should just mention, if you want to grab Nokia Drive 2.0, the easiest way is to go into the Windows Phone Marketplace on your phone and just tap on Nokia Collection rather than go and search for it in the wider marketplace. And Nokia very handily just list all the ones that are uniquely licensed or produced or written by them. And of course, it's somewhere near the top of the list. So just grab it from there. You should even see a little update if you had Nokia Drive already installed, and just it's about a minute to download and install. And then, of course, if you want the country maps, it's another couple of minutes while all that a couple of hundred megabytes download and install. But after that, you are good to go. There's also a QR code on our story on allaboutwindowsphone.com in case you just want to scan that and go straight to the application. And there's also our All About Windows Phone app, which also has a link. Woo-hoo. So no shortage of ways to install Nokia Drive 2.0.
So let's carry on our geolocation extravaganza with the next version of Nokia Maps. I'm reliably informed it's version 1.3. Rafe, what can Windows Phone users expect from this next iteration?
So this is an update for kind of the maps bit, which is generic for finding places, looking at a map, and it can also do routing by public transport, pedestrian and cars. And in this new version, I think the most significant update is the addition of a favorites list for places, so you can effectively have saved places. They appear on the map as a yellow star. When you're looking at a place page, you press the star button and it'll add it to your favorites. So it's a handy way of keeping your most frequently visited locations. I mean, previously you could pin things to the start screen, and that was a handy way to keep maybe three or four places, but it got unwieldy if you were, you know, doing any more than that. And so this is a nice little extra to have. The other kind of update in this release is you can now share routes via social networking or via an email. So this means if you plan a route, whichever form it takes, you can then send it to your friends and family. What they'll actually do in practical terms is saying, this is a route from here to here, it's going to take this long, and here's a link. And that link goes to the maps.nokia website, where that route is then shown. The good thing about this is it will work with almost any device, so it will work on Android and iPhone devices, it will work on Symbian devices, and it'll work obviously on the desktop. The slight fly in the ointment here is if you visit it with a Windows Phone device, it prompts you to download Nokia Maps and doesn't actually show you the route, so the sharing with another Windows Phone user could definitely be improved there. I'm sure that's something that will get improved in a future version. There's one other thing that's worth noting, and you can actually see traffic information in a limited number of cities in this new version of Nokia Maps. Nokia Maps theoretically is meant to be available for all Windows Phone devices, and that's different to Nokia Drive and Nokia Transport, which are exclusive to the Lumia devices. However, as things stand, it's not available in the marketplace for other devices. Nokia have said repeatedly it will be available generically, so we may just have to wait a little while for that to happen. But for now, it is, of course, available for all the Nokia Lumia devices. And as with Nokia Drive, you can download it using the AAWP app, using the QR code, or going to Nokia Collection in the marketplace, or indeed just getting the automatic update when you're prompted to do so via the marketplace.
And if you're using the application to listen to the podcast, just go to the little link icon at the bottom and you'll be taken straight there. Can't think why we're pushing the application at the moment. Maybe we'll have more on that in a moment. But we have a trifecta here, not just of people who put up with me on the podcast, but also of that mapping stuff. David, let's complete the trio with Nokia Transport.
Yes, it's all the T words, isn't it? Yes, Nokia Transport is... It was out in beta a little while ago through Nokia Beta Labs, but it has just hit the Windows Phone Marketplace now. So all Lumia owners can download it without fear of bugs and what have you. Not that the beta version was that bad. What Nokia Transport does is helps you navigate your way through public transport. It gathers information from all sorts of different types of transport, rail, metro, underground buses, and walking. Shock horror. And compiles them all together in a really visually pleasing and easy to read chart. It's covering 500 cities over 40 countries, correct me if I'm wrong. Which in practice, that means most of them are actually in America. So in England, there's only London covered so far, but hopefully that'll change in the future. But we test it out and it's really nifty little app. It works out where you are, so usually all you have to do is put your destination point in, but you can change where you're going from, and then it just shows all the routes you can take in like a stacked time bar with all the different legs of the trip for each section, and you can tap on any one of them and it gives you a detailed view, and any of the walking parts it deep links you into Nokia Maps and shows you where you actually need to walk as well. So it's as someone who doesn't drive, I think this is fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with David. I really like this app. I've been using it fairly regularly. I use it in Barcelona and I've been using it in London. You do need to look at the data for each city. For London, for example, I don't think there's buses at the moment and it doesn't do London Overground, which on certain routes can be a bit of an issue. But Nokia say they're improving the data all the time. And indeed, they've actually added 100 cities since the beta release. And that's being updated all the time. There's actually some details on the Nokia website if you want to go and see the full list of supported cities. But the other thing that's worth pointing out, of those cities, most of them are just doing routing, but for about 40 of them, there's actually schedule information. So what that means, it'll actually provide you with timing information about when the next train, bus, or whatever transport form happens to be is due. So it can then advise you which one will get you there quickest and will actually give you multiple options, and you can then scroll backwards and forwards through time to look at the various options to see what the most efficient way of doing it. So I think this kind of multimodal transport planning, particularly with public transport, is absolutely great, and the fact that it does walking at each end is really nice as well, because that's often the thing you miss out on, you know, how to get to and from the station at each end. For two cities, I think it's Berlin and Potsdam, the schedule information is actually real time, and so it will actually tell you when a bus or whatever it happens to be is arriving in real time. Understand, talking to the Nokia people, getting that kind of data is obviously dependent on talking to the respective transit authorities or whoever runs that public transport, but they want to and they have the ambition to expand that as much as possible. I think the good thing about this compared to, you know, some other applications is someone with Nokia's weight probably actually has the enough oomph to kind of get the transit authorities to maybe work with them to share that kind of data. And obviously there's a benefit to having it all in a single application. So as I did, you know, you can go to a different city, different country and use it without having to find a particular application. It is worth pointing out, though, that a lot of cities that are covered by this have their own application in the marketplace, which will sometimes be, you know, better or more fully featured than Nokia Transport. And Nokia Transport is also referred to as Nokia Transit in the US, and I think it's Nokia Bus and Bahn in Germany. So they are localizing the language, so you'll just have to check for the name in the marketplace for your country.
And one other feature that they've brought in that was actually switched off in the beta version is that you can actually have a route pinned as a live tile now. So rather than tapping away through your phone looking like a tourist, you can get everything pre-prepared and just tap on the tile as you go along.
Also handy if it's your daily commute as well, I would guess, David.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Right then, let's keep on trucking with that. Nearly got me there, Neil, about Windows Phone Bingo card, but no, not to worry. Nokia Creative Suite. I mean, creative. We all want to be creative, Rafe, especially when I'm doing a link like this and I have no idea where it's going. Creative Suite, good or bad?
Right, I guess I better talk about it. I think this is very good. Essentially, this is taking your photographs and doing interesting things to them by applying filters and basic editing effects. But there is an added dimension to it in that it also has a live component in that you can sort of apply these effects live through a camera viewfinder. And there's sort of some face twisting ones that are basically morphing, a bit like being in a circus and looking at funny mirrors. And then there's kind of effects that do various things or filters. So you make it look like your photos from the 70s, or artistic effects that turns it into a line drawing or a watercolor. This has all been nicely implemented. It's again, one of these exclusive applications to the Lumia devices. There are equivalents in the marketplace. Apix springs to mind, and everyone will have their own favorite. We listed some of them when we wrote this up, but it's just adding an extra dimension, I think, to the imaging capabilities of the device. And you, this kind of applying a filter has been popularized by Instagram, and of course there's the, as you'd expect, there's the ability to share to Facebook and Twitter or via email. But it does add an extra element to it. Calling it Creative Suite, maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but actually it's not going to satisfy any professional, obviously, but for, you know, the casual user, this is going to do everything you need to. You know, you can crop photos, you can change the exposure settings, you can add a bit of color, you can have a bit of fun applying these filters. So yeah, thumbs up from me really on this Creative Suite. I think this is a application I'd actually like to see Nokia have it pre-installed on their devices out of the box, to be honest.
Well, I'm sorry, I have to disagree, Rafe. I mean, yes, it's lovely to have the software, and it's lovely to have something for people to play around with, but I just want to disagree with the fact that it's actually any good at all, because it's basically encouraging people to bodge around with photos, which basically need to stay as they are. I'm fed up with Instagram. I'm fed up with Creative Studio. I'm fed up with photos not looking like the photos were supposed to be when you photograph them in real life. I'm sorry, maybe I'm just the professional, maybe I'm just the perfectionist, but I'm going to say I'm a big bar humbug here. I want photos to look exactly like they do in real life. Sorry.
Steve, you want my photos to look exactly like the photos I take in real life, yes?
No, I want them to look like real life, not like your attempts to take them, capture them in real life. It's completely and utterly different.
But no, I'm going to call you on this one, Steve, because photos are emotion. Photos are memories. Photos are captures. If I'm taking a picture of a band, and I took quite a lot of pictures of bands, and I'm actually going to talk about this later on in the app of the Fortnite, as it were. If I, you know, think, you know, this place really feels old and homely, and if my emotion says, you know what, put a hint of sepia on here, put a hint of the sort of Kodachrome style coloring, because that makes it look like how it feels. That's more important to me than a perfect facsimile of what I'm seeing from my eye. Would you not agree?
No, I wouldn't, because this is what will happen. That'll be great for now, and you'll put it up on Facebook, and everyone will say, oh, that, yes, that looks wonderful, you. And 2 years' time, you'll be looking back, I wish I had a photograph of that band or that particular event. And you'll go back, and all you'll have is this blessed Instagram, blessed Creative Studios, sepia-framed, sepia-tinted shot. And you think, darn it, I wish I had the original image, and I could actually do something useful with it.
No. I'll think that's what it was like.
I think we'll agree to disagree.
I think we have in the comments, folks, pitch in. Do you agree with Steve, or do you agree with the person who's hosting the show? www.windowsphone.com. Yes. Now, you know, we've just done a whole section there without mentioning the All About Windows Phone, Windows Phone application. And Rafe, now, I'd normally ban us from talking about this in the podcast, but there's a good reason for it this week, isn't there?
There is indeed, Ewan. The reason we're talking about it at the moment is Nokia Conversations are currently running a March Madness app contest, tying in with the basketball season in the US, I guess. And the reason we've been talking a little bit about it is we want you to go and vote for the All About Windows Phone app in this contest, if you would like to do so. We're not going to tie your hands behind your back or anything and make you
yes,
do
we
it.
Are.
Oh, we are we? Okay, well, anyway.
If you change your IP address and your web browser, you can vote multiple times.
Oh. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, Ewan. Anyway, if you would like to vote for it, you can go and visit the Nokia Conversations website. We're actually up against WP Central, which is a bit of a shame because it's rather a good app, and I think you should probably go and download that app as well. Try both of them. They're both great ways of keeping up with Windows Phone news. And we love our friends over at WPCentral.com. Would rather have been up against someone else in the first round. But there you go. As I say, you can vote for that and all the other apps in March Madness. And Nokia want to work out what are the top apps for the Lumia devices at conversations.nokia.com.
just this incessant, oh, we must find something that's better. It's like you walk into a news agency and there's different types of newspaper for different types of people. And it's the same with web reporting. WP Central has a different ethos, has a different feel to all about Windows Phone, to be Empower User, and to everybody else. And you know what? I think they're all wonderful. And certainly in my daily rounds, we're reading all of them. We all know each other. So it's a friendly contest, and let's keep it that way and not use any nefarious means at all.
Exactly.
Steve, stand down that army of voters in India.
It could be interesting when they count up the votes for all these different applications and categories. And like, this category's got 28 votes, 54, next one, 72. Oh, here's the Windows Phone site things, 28,250, 35,000 each site. And mobilizes its army of followers and just a complete onslaught of votes. Maybe they'll give both applications the win. Anyway, I know you're the host of this podcast, but we need to ask you a few questions. You've been, if you like, moonlighting over in America, and you've been a bit quiet, so we've been a bit worried. Now, you were going there on the auspices of South by Southwest, music, media, and film and stuff. What was actually Nokia up to, and what was Windows Phone up to? Where's the mobile aspect of this? What did you see that would really grab our All About WindowsPhone.com listeners' attention?
Grab is an interesting one. Nokia had taken up a space in the car park two blocks away from the convention center. This is during the South by Southwest interactive portion of the festival. A great big sort of igloo tent, and they'd got some fake snow that was blowing and an air conditioning unit to make it feel a little bit more like Finland. And then Austin had 17 inches of rain in a period of 12 hours. So it just felt like Scotland. Showing off the handsets, specifically the 710 and the 800, but also previewing nicely bolted down to the stands, the upcoming Lumia 900, which will appear on AT&T. So, you know, basically people were invited around. They could come in, have a look, play around with the handsets. They had evening entertainment with some of the local bands coming on as well. But the thing that caught a lot of people's eye, not just in Austin, but also out on the whole social media networks, is they ran a little campaign called I Just Planted a Tree. And this was partly, we talked about this in the video that I did with Brett Murray that came up on the website, you know, Nokia being a responsible company and helping repopulate many of the burned out forestry areas that were around Austin and in Texas from the brush fires that they had last year. The idea was that every time one of 50 specially chosen people tweeted with the hashtag I just planted a tree, Nokia would plant a tree. And at the end of the day, whoever planted the most trees via the hashtags, the top three would be in line to win themselves a Lumia 900 1 week before it gets released in America. So they haven't actually got them hands in yet. I think I finished about 47th or something. You know, I'm not an incessant tweeter at South by Southwest. I tend to use it to do face-to-face and actually see what the companies are doing. And then when Interactive left, the Igloo came down and Nokia went over and sponsored something called the Fader 4, which is like... it's like sponsoring the John Peel tent at Glastonbury. It's an alternative stage. It's this little self-contained campus, maybe five blocks away from the convention center, two blocks away from the main musical street. So it's a pretty well-targeted use of their advertising budget, I have to say. I think there were two disappointing things for me. The first one was Samsung had an incredibly huge presence at South By, but the only thing they mentioned was the Samsung Galaxy Note. All the signage was for the Galaxy Note. And ditto goes for AT&T, who had a downstairs stand. They promoting, we have 4G LTE, we have one Sony PS Vita, and we have the Samsung Galaxy Note. Not one mention at all of the Windows Phone devices, not one mention at all of any of their other Android devices or the battered devices as well. Samsung literally zeroing in on one product, making it feel like their make or break. And I kind of got disappointed at that, but you know, and I know Samsung, you know, the main strength is there in Android, but you know, Windows Phone is part of the Samsung lineup as well, but it just, no hint of it at all whatsoever.
We haven't seen a Samsung Windows Phone for 14 months now, you know, quite a long time. So
well,
I guess
that's true in the UK, but over in the US, the Focus and the Focus F, the Focus Flash out in September, October. So, you know, it was part of their target market, and you know, it was the Samsung America that was dealing with South by Southwest. So I just found it unusual and a little bit, oh, you're just focusing on one handset.
Mind you, with it being South by Southwest and heavily media heavy, then having a, you know, this 5-inch of pseudo tablet, pseudo phone, that actually makes a lot of sense. And this is going off the topic from allaboutwindowsphone.com, but I can see why they did it.
Yeah, but the device is just a tweener. It's too big to be a phone. It's too small to be a tablet. It's still running the phone or software. I did have a chance to have a play around with it. And the big innovation is it has a pen. Look, I'm going to be perfectly honest. That's great if you're someone who's hired to sketch people on the note to show that there's a pen. And it's great if you're running a developer contest for pen-based applications. But a pen?
My Scion had a pen.
Yes, and where's Scion now? But those were completely different days. That was an unresistive touchscreen, and it was used as a pointer. This is used for drawing and sketching and stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure the market's moved on from this, and they're just using it as a gimmick. But what was more telling for me, and this is going to come back to Windows Phone for a lot of things, is the complete lack of handsets that were Windows Phone outside of people who were employed by Nokia. Or run websites like All About Windows Phone. I only saw two Windows Phone handsets that I would genuinely say were there in the wild. One of them was a developer who was running with the Samsung Focus. And the other one was actually the pink 800 Lumia. And I thought, great, I found somebody. But it turned out that she used to work for the PR department that helped Nokia in Sweden. And she'd bought it in Sweden. So that one doesn't count.
Yeah, so it's all a Windows Phone, a bit light on the ground then. Maybe that's to do with the South by Southwest attendees. I get the impression, I mean, I've used Windows Phone. We're all fans of the operating system, as it were, but perhaps not so much for uber media geeks. The whole point about Windows Phone is that it can be picked up by the man in the street as a really intuitive, really fast operating system that's an alternative to things like iOS. And I just don't think you're going to get those sort of typical users maybe at South by Southwest. South by Southwest is basically iPhone territory.
It is, yes. And to be fair, there weren't that many Android devices. It was
indeed
predominantly the 4 and the 4S. But these are the sort of people that we talked about before who are the influencers. These are the ones that you need to get them in the hands. Because, again, it's the same thing that I found when I was at Blogworld LA. Once you put the Lumia in their hands, they just look at it and they use it and they just go, this works. This is nice. I'd be seen alive with this. And it does go to a lot of people are going to say, look, they're waiting for the Nokia Lumia 900 to come out, but Microsoft should be there as well. What they've had a lot of internal issues as well. They've got a new marketing guy coming on board and stuff. But I do think Microsoft missed a big opportunity to at least get on the ground and at least be recognized as taking part in the conversation, because I didn't see a huge presence from them at South by.
Yeah, you and you sort of say Microsoft weren't there. I mean, I know they were present in the Nokia tent and they were doing some of their smoked by promotions and things like that. But you sort of say the 900, you know, that's just an excuse. But talking about the US market, and this is particularly with regard to Nokia, I guess, we've had the 710 come out. And that's fine, but I can't imagine the 710 is the kind of handset that typical South by attendees would be, you know, carrying around with them. And the 900, of course, hasn't formally launched in the sense it's not available to buy yet. We're expecting it to arrive maybe sometime in the next month or so. Do you think that will make a difference, you know, having the bigger screen, you know, having that design, which, you know, has done really well on the Lumia 800? And is that going to make a difference in the US market?
Short answer is yes, I think it will. One of the things that I'm seeing, and I can definitely see having talked to some people out there about the US market, is it's become a spec war. It has become about the numbers game. I remember Palm did their best when Microsoft had the Microsoft Windows-powered Pocket Palm PC PDA devices. I think that was what the lawyers were allowed to call them. You know, they said, no, don't measure CPU speed, don't measure memory speed, just measure how long it takes you to get your address book. And all the journalists went on that. But now everybody's going for specs. You know, how big's the processor? How big's the screen? How much memory has it got? How much battery life has it got? How bright is the screen? And so, you know, the Nokia 800, the Lumia 800 doesn't win in the spec battle. But the Lumia 900 does have the same screen. It has the similarly spec'd processor. Okay, it's 0.2 gigahertz down or something, but I think we can argue around that. You know, but in its specs, yes, the 900 will make a difference, purely on the fact that it's got a bigger number.
Okay, thanks, Ewan. It's interesting there. Obviously, the 900 has LTE as well, but I suspect this spec debate is something we'll come back to in a future podcast and how much it matters. And it's certainly something I think a lot of manufacturers would like to move away from. But I think, Ewan, it's time for our regular feature, is it not?
It's time for the very first edition of App of the Fortnight, purely because we've missed a week. App of the Week will return next week. I want to bring up Pictures Lab. I know I've reviewed it before, and I may well have mentioned it in App of the Week again, but this has been something that I've found really useful at South by Southwest. The ability to take the pictures that I've taken, do a very quick crop, rotate, and save off a copy, Steve, so the original is untouched, add in a filter if needed. But the main thing that I enjoyed it for is when I was uploading it to Facebook and Twitter, it would scale the picture down. So I was sending up, like, rather than a multi-megabyte picture, it was just an 800 by 600 pixel size picture, enough for people on Facebook to see what was going on, to see that the pianist on one of the bands looked rather like Loreen singing Euphoria at Melody Festival. And so Pictures Lab, little application. Again, it does the whole filtering and cropping things, but I found it really useful and a really good uploader to social media of my photos. Rafe, back at you.
I'm going to talk about Red Laser, which is an application, I think, from eBay. And what this does is it reads barcodes and then looks up price comparison. But it actually looks up prices from a whole range of sites, including kind of the Google shopping services and others, one of which is, of course, eBay. But it supports a much wider range of products than the built-in Bing Vision search, which does DVDs and books and CDs. But I was trying this on various things, including address labels, various bits of software, stationery, and other things I just had sitting around on my desk. But, you know, it's the ideal application for when you're out and about and you want to answer that question, is can I buy this product more cheaply somewhere online, or just get a rough price guide so you know whether you're going to buy it in the high street or not. And of course, you can type the search in manually, but being able to scan a barcode is a lot quicker. And so, yes, this is a free download from the Windows Phone Marketplace and thoroughly recommended for a bit of price comparison out in the real world.
David, what do you have for this fortnight?
I've got Metro Paper, which is another Read It Later client. This one is made by Tal Bensal, who Symbian users may recognize for making SimPaper and SimNote. It's a really simple, straightforward application, which is what you want for Read It Later. It'll sync all of your articles, all of your unread and read articles. You can mark things as read, share them to social networks via the built-in Windows Phone 7 social network accounts, so you don't have to be logging in through OAuth pages, as many apps have you do. And you can buy it for, I think, £1.49, and there's a free trial, and there is a free ad-supported version as well. So if you want to be catching up on your web reading when you didn't have time to read interesting links that you saw on Twitter, I would really recommend this one.
And finish off, Steve, what do we have?
We have something rather simple but rather useful. This is now, most of the Symbian phones, which is where I come from, the modern Symbian phones, you have got the key lock toggle on the side, and you press that down, and the LED flash on the phone turns on as a torch. So basically, they've got a torch built in. There isn't such a toggle on the Windows Phone 7 devices, unless I'm missing it. So I've resorted to third-party software, and Flashlight 7 is the one I came out with. I've got it pinned to my home screen. Essentially, it comes up with a big little on switch. You tap that, and on comes the flashlight. And basically, with the dual LED on the Lumia 800, it's a very, very bright torch. You also get some fancy atmospheric stuff where you can make the screen cycle different colors and provide romantic mood lighting for yourself and your partner. But the main function is a torch. It works really, really well. And it's basically free with a couple of ads in. So go download it.
And there we go. They're romantic mood lighting. And, of course, you can use Red Laser to find the cheapest bottle of Dom Perignon 57 that you can find in all of that. You can find a poem of Keats and clip that onto your phone. And when you're all finished, you can take a picture of it and upload it so everybody else can see who you're with. There you go. Look, an entire romantic evening planned by App of the Fortnight. All About Windows Phone, of course, is with you every single day in allaboutwindowsphone.com. You can find us also on Facebook, on Twitter, all the usual social media hangouts out there. You'll also find my cohorts as well. Rafe Blanford, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
David Gilson, thank you.
Thank you for listening, everyone, and see you next week.
Thank you also to Steve Litchfield.
Yes, see you next week. Bye.
I'm Ewan Spence, and the final thank you goes out to you out there for listening to the show. Remember to vote for us many, many times. And it's great to have your company. We'll catch you next week.